In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Christ is risen! This day, commonly called St. Thomas Sunday, is officially called Antipascha by the Church. And not to be confused with the first course in an Italian meal, Antipascha. Antipascha means instead of Pascha. Like Antichrist means instead of Christ. Because instead of last Sunday, this Sunday was Pascha for St. Thomas, since he missed the first one. It would seem logical, really, that we would commemorate on this day the myrrh bearers on the first Sunday after Pascha, since they were the first witnesses to the resurrection. Of course, the myrrh bearers we remember next week. But the Church has us remember St. Thomas' encounter with the risen Lord on this first Sunday for two reasons. First, it's historical. The Gospel said 8 days. In 8 days, Jesus appeared. Well, this is the eighth day after the resurrection. So this is that day. So it's an historical day. But also, the encounter of St. Thomas with the risen Christ is given to us by the Church to strengthen us as we prepare to go into the world as witnesses to the resurrection. Just like Thomas and the other apostles were strengthened in their faith by their encounters with the risen Christ. Holy Scripture reports on 11 appearances of the risen Christ to the apostles and to the myrrh bearers, who are called equals to the apostles. Neither St. Mark's nor St. Luke's account of the appearance of Christ to the 11 makes any mention of St. Thomas. However, St. John's Gospel, the one we just read, clearly says that Thomas was not with them when Jesus came. And on the same day at evening, which was the day of the resurrection. So on the first Pascha, after Jesus revealed himself to the two apostles on the road to Emmaus, you remember, he walked with them, they didn't know who he was. They sat and broke bread, and then they realized who he was. These two apostles ran to Jerusalem after this encounter, and this is still on the day of Pascha, and they were telling the other apostles who were doing what. They were hiding for fear of the Jews about their encounter. The apostles came. They told them about their encounter with the risen Christ. And he passed through the closed doors and said to them, "Peace be unto you." And right after this greeting, Jesus showed them his hands and his side. And were the disciples glad? So that was their first encounter with the risen Christ as a group. In an article in an article on this feast, our beloved Archbishop Dimitri wrote, "Christ then greeted them with that salutation retained by the Church through the ages, with which the priest greets the faithful at each of the important parts of the Divine Liturgy and other services." What is that? "Peace be unto you. Peace be with you." Twice our Lord delivers this message of peace to his disciples that first day of the week. The resurrection, of which the beloved disciples were witnesses, was the confirmation of Christ's entire life of prophecy and sacrifice. This is still Archbishop Dimitri talking. It was a reassurance that the peace he had come to give the world was not vain or imagined, nor was it peace on a strictly human level. For example, the absence of war or strife among men. Rather, this peace was the presence of the Prince of Peace in the midst of human existence. And that's so very Archbishop Dimitri-like. This peace was the presence of the Prince of Peace in the midst of human existence. It was the long-awaited reconciliation between God and man, and in a profound union of all men as children of the Most High, a peace that the world is unable to provide or understand. Obviously, sometime during the week that followed the first Pascha, Thomas joined the other apostles, and when they told him about Jesus appearing to them, St. Thomas uttered those famous words, "Except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." Obviously, the disciples had already told him that they had seen that. They had seen the wounds. They had seen the risen Christ. So he said, "I'm not going to believe it." Well, I really think that old St. Thomas gets a bad rap from time to time, because in reality, he was just asking the same thing, that the same proof of the resurrection that the other disciples had received the week earlier. The doubting of Thomas is called in the church, in the hymnography of the church, the good unbelief of Thomas. The good unbelief. Not because the church wants us to be doubters and to have any doubts at all, because any doubts about the divinity of Christ and the resurrection of Christ come from the devil. We should chase those out of our heads immediately. But the good unbelief is not because disbelief is encouraged, but because this particular encounter of Christ, between Christ and St. Thomas, strengthens our faith that Jesus was indeed risen from the dead. St. Mark's Gospel, about the apostles' encounter with Jesus in the closed room, says that Jesus reproached their unbelief and hardness of heart because they believed not those who saw him after he was raised, referring to St. Mary Magdalene and the two disciples who met Jesus on the road to Emmaus. So you're starting to get this picture of what was going on that week. St. Luke's Gospel says Jesus asked them, "Why are you troubled? And why do reasonings come up in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, I am he. Touch me and see." So he showed them proofs. Let's not forget that, in St. Thomas's defense, that he had already told the other apostles that they should follow Jesus to Bethany, to Lazarus' tomb. It was Thomas who said, "Let's go to Bethany, so that we may," what? Not see him raise Lazarus from the dead. "That we may die with him," which is a foreshadowing of everything that happens to the apostles, something that happens to all the apostles. And he was referring also to the fear they had of just being seen with Jesus in public. Remember, today we read they were afraid because they were in the closed room for fear of the Jews. These men were afraid. And we should never forget that it was St. Thomas who traveled farther than any of the other apostles, as far as we know, into eastern lands, even as far as India, to proclaim the resurrection after all of these events. The church has us read from the Acts of the Holy Apostles during the Paschal season so that we may be encouraged by the examples of the apostles who risked it all because they were so inspired by their encounters with the risen Lord. All of the apostles except St. John the theologian were martyred for their faith, eventually. And it's undeniable that the remarkable zeal of the apostles in the face of sure death is the greatest proof of the resurrection. We heard today in the Acts of the Apostles what wonderful things God was doing through them, just right there in, I guess they were in Jerusalem still. They had not gone abroad. What was happening? Did I pay attention? Even their shadows were healing people. The apostles would walk along, and their shadows, if they fell on someone who was sick or possessed, they would be healed. So, their faithfulness was, I guess you could say, rewarded. Unlike Judas, they didn't run away. They stayed with Christ, and our Holy Apostle Thomas was one of them. What was their motivation, these apostles? In Acts, and I'll read from what's called the Amplified Version, in Acts 1, very early in the book of Acts, "To them also he showed himself alive after his passion, his suffering in the garden and on the cross. by a series of many convincing demonstrations, unquestionable evidences and infallible proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and talking to them about the things of the kingdom of God. In his first letter to the new Christians in Corinth, 1 Corinthians 15th chapter, St. Paul writes that after rising from the dead, Christ was seen by over 500 brethren. The word's getting out. These apostles are about to get out too. About to go forth. The Holy Apostle Peter, who three times denied Jesus, writes in his first epistle, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, whom having not seen, you love." He's writing to a church somewhere. "Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see Him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So, my dear brothers and sisters, in the words of the Gospel writers, in the words of Christ, why are you troubled? Why do reasonings come up in your hearts? From the Gospel today, Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Christ is risen! Christ is risen! Christ is risen! Christ is risen.